afternoon, everyone, or good evening, or good day, whatever I should say. This is Chris Gray, and welcome once again to this edition of The Blind Line for Wednesday, at least on the west coast of the United States, September 12th, 2007. Thank you all for joining, and in a moment, we will begin today's program. Great to have you all here. It's great to be here. I'm using a different microphone today, trying to get used to it, trying to get plugged into it in various ways. And so if you hear some extra microphone noise, pretend like somebody else made it, okay? I would appreciate that. It is, as I say, it's good to be here. And let me give you an idea of today's program. First of all, I want to acknowledge several people who called me last week. This may be something that other ACB radio hosts are already familiar with, but I wasn't so aware of it. I had a lot of calls from people who thought they would be on the air during the repeat broadcasts. I don't think anybody was mad that they weren't on the air, but it was a lot of confusion and something that I hope to avoid in the future, at least by having some understanding that people are calling expecting they're going to be on the air. But I do thank you all for responding, and I thank you for the topics that you have suggested for future editions of The Blind Vine. One of the things that a couple people asked was if we would put together and do a show about the Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, and talk about how effective it may or may not have been for blind people since its passage in 1990. I think that could be a great show to do. There are a lot of opinions about it, a lot of feelings, pro and con, and it would be great to have a forum to let you express what you're thinking about it. And I know even from the conversations we had on the board list about this between July and September and the conversations on ACBL that we're going to hear an awful lot of discussion on all sides of the ADA. So that would be a good thing, and I will work to put together a show on that probably sometime in mid-October, I would guess. Several people just called to express their interest in the show and say they're listeners and say hello, and I appreciate that as well. And I hope that many of you will call between 5 and 6 or 8 and 9 Eastern or 0 and 1 o'clock Universal Time and be on the air. In a moment, I'll mention a very few things about ACB and about the ACB Board of Directors. I have a special show today, which will take up maybe 30 minutes to 35 minutes of our time. And while it isn't really ACB related, I got excited about doing it and just put it together and thought I would present it here because, you know, our whole lives can't be just about ACB, right? In fact, I don't think that yours is. I can tell you mine isn't. I can tell you mine is not. We do have other things, other interests. And one of my interests, more expansively put, is jazz. But I like piano jazz and pianists. And one of my really favorite pianists is a person who isn't that well known to many. His name is James P. Johnson. He primarily played and recorded in the early 20th century. Some of the recordings that I'm going to present are a little bit on the old side and maybe hard to listen to over ACB radio. I don't know for sure, but I think you'll be all right. and hopefully you'll enjoy them. But before we get into that, just a few brief remarks about things that are coming up, things you may want to know about, and topics to put on the radar screen for you. As I said last week, the ACB Board of Directors will be meeting the second weekend in October, and we'll be meeting just outside of Chicago near O'Hare Airport. Topics are coming together for the meeting, and maybe by next week I'll have an agenda and I can share that with you here on the radio. Mitch and I are preparing to do some work between now and December for the World Blind Union Regional Conference, and that conference is going to be on December 3rd and 4th in New York City, and hosted, I believe, by the American Foundation for the Blind and National Industries. I'm not positive about that. I'll make sure about that and let you know on another broadcast, but I think that AFB is the main host. The North American region will meet and discuss topics of interest to us. We're going to hear some reports from a couple different committees, which I haven't seen yet, so I won't go into detail about those. But I hope that the WBU meetings will be fruitful, and as the agenda unfolds, I'll be sure and let you know. The chair of our region right now is Jim Gibbons from National Industries for the Blind, and in October he'll be attending a meeting of the Executive Committee of WBU in London, and perhaps we can have him on between October and December and give us a little sense of how the meetings went there and what the Executive Committee of WBU is doing and thinking about. You're listening to The Blind Vine on ACB Radio Mainstream. The phone number is 888-881-1998, and that phone number should appear at the top of your Winamp screen, if you're using Winamp, or other screens, I imagine, at the top. But I know in Winamp, it's basically at the top of the screen on the menu bar. 888-881-1998. I must admit to abject and woeful ignorance about all affairs relating to ACB-L in the past week. I've kind of had my nose to the grindstone regarding some work I've been doing for Bay Area Digital, and haven't had the time to really dig into ACBL and know what the hottest issues are during this last week. If anybody would like to call and enlighten us about particular topics or raise particular topics, that would be fine and very much appreciated. Again, the number is 888-881-1998. We have the convention season coming up, and you may want to call or to write and put conventions on the list I can mention of interest to ACB members or listeners who may not know where the closest convention is to them. The California convention will be held the last weekend in October, and there is some movement afoot to have that convention broadcast on ACB Radio. I hope to have more for you about that by this time next week. The following weekend is the convention of the Washington Council of the Blind, and their convention will be held in Spokane, Washington this year. I know Sue mentioned it may have been on this program, it may have been just to me in a side conversation, but Sue Amater mentioned that Washington was going to see if they could reach out and make some efforts to include people in Idaho as well. That'd be a great thing to do, and I think that would really be a big help, certainly for the people in Idaho who have been a little bit lacking in leadership these last couple of years, and that affiliate definitely needs some bolstering and some support. If we have any listeners from Idaho, and I know we sometimes do, you ought to think about getting in touch with the WCB or attending their convention the first weekend in November in Spokane, Washington. Okay, I think what I'm going to do now is move forward to the feature of this week on James P. Johnson, and I won't take calls during the featured item itself. As I say, it will be a little over a half hour in length. I hope you like hearing it as much as I liked producing it, and maybe producing is a bit of a strong term, but what can I say? I do hope you enjoy it, and I would be delighted to take your comments about it when it's over, as well as anything else I've raised here today or anything else you want to talk about. Once again, 888-881-1998. And now let's go to our feature for the week on The Blind Vine. You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream, the voice of the blind community. As listeners to The Blind Vine have almost certainly noticed, every week we begin and end the program with a ragtime piano piece. It's called The Belle of Louisville, and it was written actually in the 1980s by a ragtime pianist, a revival pianist named Frank French. Frank French happens to live in San Francisco and is very active in the whole ragtime revival scene. In fact, on the 30th of September, he's giving a concert at a major piano store here in San Francisco. Well, from that, you probably have guessed, and accurately so, that I'm a big fan of ragtime, a big fan of piano in general, but in particular of ragtime. And as such, I just got moved over the weekend to prepare a brief special for you about a ragtime pianist. Many of you may know of him, but many will not. He's not as much of a household name, say, as Fats Waller or Jelly Roll Morton, although among ragtime circles, he is revered and quite famous. The pianist is James P. Johnson, James Price Johnson, actually, born on February 1st, 1891, in, of all places, Brunswick, New Jersey. Unlike people who were born in New Orleans or other sites of jazz, ragtime, and so forth, James P. Johnson didn't have a lot of exposure to this kind of music, except for the fact that his mom was a pianist, came from the South, and knew some rags and some stomps, and began teaching them to him in his early childhood. He then learned more formal piano technique from an Italian country pianist who didn't try to change his ragtime, but just changed his fingering so he would be more of an accurate and adept piano player. Let's jump right in to the first piano solo that I've chosen for you to hear today. It's a tune called Riffs. It was written by James P., as he was often called by people, and recorded in New York on January 29th, 1929. James P. Johnson, piano solo, playing Riffs. Thank you. For some piano virtuosic playing. Hope you enjoyed that, and we'll come back to some other solos in a little bit. But before we do, I want to show you some other facets of James Johnson as a contributor to the musical scene of the 20th century. In addition to his piano playing, James P. was a great band leader. He put together and was in many reviews. He was in a film, St. Louis Blues, with Bessie Smith, and had a number of dimensions to him that amplified his ragtime piano playing. When I began to plan this project, I thought, well, I should include at least one song with James P. as a band leader. Before I was done, I ended up not knowing how to go about this without including at least three. So here goes. We'll explore James P. as a player in a band and as a band leader. We start with a song called Chicago Blues. Most of the band recordings that James P. made were made under the name of Jimmy J. and his orchestra. Seems kind of funny in a way. But he had a lot of great players of the time. For those who follow jazz in general and Duke Ellington and so forth, you'll be interested to know that Cootie Williams is on this first cut, Chicago Blues, a lot of others. And we get two pianos for the price of one. There's a second piano that does a bridge played by none other than Fats Waller, who, it turns out, was a student of James P. Johnson. There is an announcer at the beginning and the end of this song, and for those who are interested in such things, it's Perry Bradford. This first recording was made on June 18th, 1928. Then we'll hear Go Harlem, an Andy Razoff and James P. Johnson song, recorded March 25th, 1931. And finally, we'll hear You've Got to Be Modernistic, a song written for a review. And on this song, King Joe Oliver plays the trumpet, which is notable as well. Teddy Bunn on banjo and guitar, and Harry Hull on the brass bass. The vocal is the Keep Shufflin' Trio, one of whom is almost certainly Fats Waller. Fats Waller again plays the second piano. This was recorded November 18th, 1929. So, we begin with Chicago Blues, recorded June 18th, 1928.
All aboard for Atlanta, Birmingham, New Orleans, and Chicago on track number 7.
Go holler, go holler, start right now.
Got to Be Modernistic, recorded on November 19th, 1929, by Jimmy Johnson and his orchestra. Well, it may have been modernistic at the time. Certainly, by today's standards, that would not be considered a modernistic arrangement or set of vocalists or anything like that, but great, great fun to hear. Keep that song very much in your mind, because before we end the program today, we're going to play you another version of that song, but a solo piano version. James P. was in high regard as a band leader, but also in high demand as an accompanist. And I'm going to now play you two samples of his accompaniment. Again, I was only going to do one, but when I found four or five, I heard two that I just felt had to be on this program. These are both recordings made with the great blues singer Bessie Smith. I'm sure everybody knows the name Bessie Smith, even if you may not have heard her sing before or know her recordings too well. But we'll provide two of them for you today. The first one is going to be called Backwater Blues, written by Bessie Smith, and this was recorded Thursday, February 17th, 1927. And then we'll have a slightly newer song called On Revival Day, again by Andy Razoff, recorded Monday, June 9th, 1930. So we'll start out now with Bessie Smith and James P. doing Backwater Blues.
When it rains 5 days and the sky's turned dark as night, when it rains 5 days and the sky's turned dark as night, then trouble's taking place in the lowlands at night. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my dough. I woke up this morning, can't even get out of my dough. There's enough trouble to make a poor girl wonder where she wanna go. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. Then they rolled a little boat about 5 miles across the pond. I packed all my clothes, sold them in, and they rolled me along. When it thunders and lightning and the wind begins to blow, there's thousands of people ain't got no place to go. Then I went and stood upon some high old lonesome hill. Then I went and stood upon some high old lonesome hill. Then looked down on the house where I used to live. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things and go. Backwater blues done caused me to pack my things and go. Have you ever seen old Satan on a run? see just how it's done. And have you ever heard a sermon stir your soul? Make you crave the river of Jordan as you go. Have you ever felt as though you'd like to shout? Then come on and let them feelings out. Oh, Lord. Just hear those sisters groaning and hear those brothers moaning, repenting and atoning on revival day. They talking to the spirit just like you see and hear it. They sinful and they bear it on revival day. When that congregation starts to sing, nothing in this world don't mean a thing. Oh, glory, hallelujah, makes you feel so peculiar. The devil cannot rule you on revival day.
Glory, glory,
hymns are purifying.
Glory, glory,
wash my sins away.
Lordy, Lordy,
feel just like a lion.
Lordy, Lordy,
I'm reborn today. Oh, just hear those sisters groaning and hear them brothers moaning, repenting and atoning on revival day. Oh, they're talking to the spirit just like you see and hear it. They simple and they bear it on revival day. When that congregation starts to sing, nothing in this world don't mean a thing. Oh, glory, hallelujah, makes you feel so peculiar. The devil cannot rule you on revival day.
Two great and very different songs from blues artist Bessie Smith, ragtime and stride piano artist James P. Johnson. Now we have to wind up this introduction to James P., and I'm going to do that by playing for you two piano solos, because after all, piano solos were in so many ways what it was all about for James P. First is a rendition of the Cole Porter song, What Is This Thing Called Love? And that was recorded on January 21st, 1930. On the same day, a recording in a solo mode of You've Got to Be Modernistic, the song that you heard a little while ago. So, from January 21st, 1930, two final piano solos from the incomparable James P. Johnson.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, the incomparable ragtime and stride piano of James P. Johnson. I hope you've enjoyed this presentation. If you have, let me know. Let me know who else you might like to hear of in the future. And remember, you're listening to this on The Blind Vine on ACB Radio Mainstream, the voice of the blind community. Well, I hope that was fun for all of you. It was certainly fun for me to make it. And, boy, it ended up taking a good bit of this hour as well. It's amazing how much there was and how much I didn't play and how much I didn't say. I could have said more biographically about the pianist. But anyway, we have about 10 minutes left for telephone calls. And here they come. Let's see who's here first. This is Chris, and you're on the Blind Vine. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Chris, this is Marlena.
Hey, Marlena.
Boy, was that some good stuff. You know,
you like that.
We go when we cruise up to Alaska, mm-hmm. we go to the Red Dog Saloon in Juneau.
Okay.
And I was just saying to Gary that when we go there, because we are leaving next week, we're going to go to Alaska again, and we're going to go to the Red Dog, and if that same ragtime pianist is there who was there when we were there last year,
uh-huh.
we're going to buy you a CD of him, because, whoa, man, we love that stuff. That was fabulous.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. I do, too. And, you know, it's a kind of piano playing that's hard to come by these days.
Yeah.
There is a revival, but it's hard to find. Mike Honig knows about a bar in St. Louis, I believe it is, where once a month a whole bunch of ragtime pianists come and just play all evening.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any Knuckles O'Toole?
No, I don't.
Have you ever heard Knuckles O'Toole?
I have not.
Does he play with his
knuckles?
What? Yeah, I don't know. That's what I grew up on, was Knuckles O'Toole.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, I'll have to look up some Knuckles O'Toole, see if I can find some.
Well, let's do that. That would be great fun. There are so many. I mean, there's Willie the Lionhearted Smith, and, it goes on. And great, great musicians.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I neglected to say, and I totally forgot it, but I'll tell you now. James P. is the author of the Charleston Rag.
Oh, my gosh!
I should have put that in, you know.
Yeah.
But there's so much.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that part of your music collection. I I think it was great.
Well, thank you. I'll think of some more to do. If you think of some people you'd like me to focus a program on, let me know.
I'll do it.
Always happy to do it. And you take care.
All right, you too.
I envy you going to Alaska. That sounds
fun. I'll make sure and have a couple of appropriate beverages in your name.
Marvelous.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. You too. Bye. This is The Blind Vine, and you can give me a call at 888-881-1998. I nearly forgot the number for a second. 888-881-1998. We are getting on time-wise. We have about 5 more minutes for phone calls, comments on any of the things that we brought up today, and would love to get your calls. 888-881-1998. The topic of the ADA is certainly an interesting one, and one that we want to devote a program to, as I said earlier today. My thinking about that program is that we ought to have a representative from, certainly from ACB, either Eric or Melanie, would be very good to have. And I'd love to get someone on the program, such as Paul Schrader, who was very involved at the time of the passage of ADA, and who could talk to us about the hopes, the dreams, the dashed dreams, and the realized hopes, maybe all four of those things. And I think that would be very, very good. And if you have other ideas of who might be good to include on a program like that, please do let me know. Probably we ought to think very strongly about getting someone from another sector of the disabled community, not necessarily a blind person, or a blind person who has been very active in another aspect of disability than blindness, because the ADA has done many different things for many different groups. We want to keep that firmly in our minds. So I would appreciate any thoughts or ideas you might have on that, and that would be great to get. let's see. Next week, what am I thinking about for next week? I will be away for a few days. It is Marvelena and my sad duty to represent ACB at the funeral of Ralph Sanders. That's going to be held in Pasadena, California this Saturday. Good afternoon. You're on the Blind Vine. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Chris. It's Sue Amateur.
Hey, Sue. How you doing today?
Good. Couple thoughts I had. Okay. I don't know if we could do this, but it would be terrific if you could even have 2 minutes of time with Yoshiko Dart.
That'd be great. Yes,
and even if she didn't call, if you could tape, you know, if you could get a tape or something.
Right.
Other thought might be someone from Dredif, like Arlene Mayerson or Marilyn Golden.
Yep. You know, that would be good. And I've been working with Marilyn Golden on a major, major paratransit study.
Oh, well, yeah. Marilyn's so very savvy, as you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she did a lot of training for us up here in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but if
good.
You could get somebody like Yoshiko or... even the National Council on Disability, but no name's coming to mind right now.
Right.
But I think Yoshiko might do it.
Well, that's a good point. I'll look into that. And you're right. You know, a taping would be as good as
yes, and then you could do it at her convenience. And,
right.
And, you know, she could reflect on some of what, you know, Justin went through.
Yes.
So, anyway, those are my thoughts.
Good idea.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
If not before, in November.
you bet.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. We're coming very close to the end of our hour for the Blind Vine. If you do want to call, you'd better do it in the next 60 to 90 seconds, because my computer clock is telling me It's 5:57 and 4 seconds. And Chrissy has told me that I am not to run this out right to the 5:59 moment before leaving the program, because the radio automation system can do funny things and might make me do funny things, and I wouldn't want to do that on the radio after all, you see. We will be at Ralph Sanders' funeral and wake. I hope to record some actualities there, not of the funeral itself, I think, but maybe of some people who are there. And then we're going to spend one day in Las Vegas, Nevada, and maybe I can get some interesting recordings there. And I've already produced a demonstration of an audio pedestrian signal that happens very happily for me to be across from my office. So I did about a 90-second demonstration of exactly what the APS sounds like, of walking up to it, showing you the banging noise that it makes, and all those wonderful things that I thought might be of interest for people to hear. There has been some news reporting about it, but I know that that reporting has been pretty sketchy and hasn't really given people, I think, a sense of what an APS really is. And, you know, it can work in very, very noisy environments and do well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is bringing us to the conclusion of another edition of The Blind Vine. Thank you all for joining. I know we had quite a number of listeners off and on today, and I appreciate that very much. You can also call besides listening, and that would be great. My name is Chris Gray. I'll see you again next Wednesday for the next edition of the program. And you're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream, the voice of the blind community. Thank you again for listening, and good night.